And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Rose. What up, Dole?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
We're Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Jalen, we have a very special show today. We have a lot to discuss. Quick programming note, every Tuesday and Thursday, you're always going to get the audio version of the television show where we hit the big topics and we say
audio
intelligent and responsible things about the world of sports and pop culture. But then,
in
the other episode of Tuesday and Thursday, that's when you get the greasy, unfiltered, podcast exclusive Jalen and Jacoby. So Aaron Jones joined us on the television show today, but he also joined us on the podcast exclusive, and he has said some very interesting things about his future with the Packers. We're going to give you that now, and then we will be back for more podcast exclusive. So we always do podcast exclusive with our guest. Right now we have pro bowler, 9-time touchdown runner, over 1,100 yards, 5.5 yards a carry. Jalen, if you had a running back that ran 5.5 yards a carry, why would you throw the ball? Why would you throw the ball?
And he's a free agent. Aaron Jones is joining Jalen and Jacoby.
So, Aaron, we're off the television show now, so you can be real with us. Wait, 6 touches in the NFC Championship game? Like, 6 times? 6 times they called a play for you to run the ball? Did you feel a certain way after the game?
I did.
I more so felt a certain way, like, you know, my performance, you know. I got to be critical of myself first, and I put the ball on the carpet twice. Luckily, my tight end was right there to pick it up the first time, so I kind of canceled that one out. You know, you forget about that one. But the second one, you know, I felt like I kind of got going running the ball after that fumble, the first one, and then the second one happens right after the coming out of the halftime. And I feel like it wasn't really much I could do about it. Caught it, tried to turn up field. As soon as I caught it, put it away, got hit, and ended up getting injured. It really hurt me that I couldn't go back out there more than anything. And I was like, man, is this how my career with the Packers is going to end? You know, a lot of uncertainty. And I'm like, man, I really want to just go out there and take one more snap. Like, I don't want to end my career on a fumble. But I couldn't get back out there. I ended up cracking a cartilage that connects my sternum and my ribs. And not a lot of people know that, but yeah, so I'm good now, healing back up. But it was more of that that I had to deal with. But I do feel like I could have performed a little bit better, but running the ball, I feel like I could have. And I got hurt in catching it. It was weird. The ball.
We've been doing this show for 10 years, and I'm a huge fan of yours. And one of the things I appreciate, not only are you a complete running back, you actually have a personality. You actually have flavor. I like when I'm watching the game and you throw on your glasses and you giving us something beyond just, you know, what we normally see from our athletes. How is it for you to understand that I have a responsibility to not only be a terrific running back, but I still want to live my life, enjoy the game, and play the game that I love and have fun?
That's what it's all about. I mean, you know, at this level, you know, you got politics involved and all of that, but I block that out and I just go have fun and do the same thing I've been doing since a little kid, and it's no different. So you get out there, you have fun, and that takes care of itself, you know, and then you step on the field with that confidence, and then it's over. Like, you just go have fun and be the same person you've been, and then also branding yourself, you know, and with whatever brand I team up with, I go all out for it. With Oakley, that's the glasses. I go all out for it. Myself is the sombrero, but I go all out for whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm representing. I believe in putting your whole heart and your soul into it and selling out for it.
Well, I know there's some discussions about you getting an extension with the Packers that didn't really come to terms during the season. Now you're a free agent. You only get so many opportunities like this in your career. You've got Drew Rosenhaus as an agent right now. When you and Drew get on a phone, when he calls you, right, and you pick up, what teams come up? Like, what teams have shown interest in you that aren't the Green Bay Packers?
It's been a lot of teams. I really haven't talked to them. We've talked about possible places, but like trying to get a deal done with the Packers first, and that's what the team that drafted me. But if not, then there's other possible landing spots. There's other teams that need running backs that I feel like I could come in and make an impact on their team.
Aaron, what is it like to be in the huddle with Aaron Rodgers? Tell us something about him that the average fan that would not know that makes him one of the all-time great quarterbacks that the NFL has seen.
He's just a great leader. I mean, he instilled a lot of confidence in this from the start. I mean, I remember taking my first snap. I've said this so many times, and I'm running on the field. It's week four. I haven't took an offensive snap, just been playing special teams. And both our running backs go down, and I run on the field, and he's like, hey, we're in the huddle. And he's like, hey, I just want you to know, I'm one of the biggest fans in this organization. And I'm like, wow. Like, I've only played in the preseason, mind you. Preseason, I was the third back, so I'm not in there with him. And so this is my first time, really. I took him practice with him a little bit, but it's really my first time about to take some snaps with him. And he tells me this, so, you know, that does a lot for your confidence. And coming from a future Hall of Famer, and you're like, dang, this dude believe in me. And I'm like, yo, I could play at this level if he believed in me, like, and no questions asked, like.
And that's so dope.
That's amazing. Well, we want to thank you so much for joining us. Whatever uniform you are wearing next year, us two will be rooting for you hard. Absolutely. Unless you're playing the Lions, Jalen might get root for you at that point. But you're welcome to come back anytime. Thanks for Old Spice, and thank you, Aaron Jones, for joining us. You're welcome to come back anytime.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Big fans.
Thank you, family. Appreciate
Likewise.
That. Come back and join us when you get that big check.
Yes, sir. Will do. Will do. Anytime.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen, before we get started today, I want to remind our listeners that you can watch the latest 30 for 30, Al Davis versus the NFL tonight, February 4th at 9 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN. Or if you miss it, you can catch it immediately after it airs on ESPN Plus. Also immediately following the premiere of Al Davis versus the NFL, you can get more Jalen and Jacoby. As we've done for previous 30 for 30s, we'll be speaking with the film's director, Ken Rogers, on Jalen and Jacoby, The After Show. You can search for, download, and subscribe to Jalen Jacoby After Show wherever you get your podcasts. Want to thank Aaron Jones for coming through, Jalen. There was a story today that didn't make the television show because I want to talk to you about it, and I want to talk to you about it unfiltered for like 10 minutes. It was something that you pointed out because sometimes you have your own theories that you get from watching games and being around the league, and then sometimes you have things that come from your phone. And I thought that your feelings about the front-running Clippers were the former, but now I think they might be the latter, and let me explain. Jared Dudley wrote a book about being in the bubble and winning a championship. Good for him. Shout out to Jared Dudley. And in his book, he wrote the following. Listen closely, Jalen. Quote, we hear some of the guys talking about how they're the team to beat in L.A., talking about the Clippers. It's fine if Kawhi says stuff like that. He's defending championship. We don't trip if someone like Patrick Beverley is talking trash. That's how he feeds his family. We get it. We respect the hustle. But we think it's disrespectful for Paul George, who hasn't won, to put himself on the level of Bron and AD. That motivates us. When we see those guys around the compound, we don't really kick it with them. Jalen, do you believe that the Lakers were motivated by the comments, the perceived disrespect of the Los Angeles Clippers, especially Paul George?
Shout to Jared Dudley. And when he had an opinion, it reminded me of how the public can be. And by the way, has a son named Jalen. That's my guy. Been knowing him for a while. He's actually one of the people, Jacoby, that I mentor as it relates to the media stuff. Because he's going to do this one day. So I have to put that out there first. You know what I'm saying? So Jared Dudley writes a book. And so many people that have played sports, that have not played sports, always want to gauge who has the autonomy to have an opinion. That's the dumbest thing of all time. I love Shaq. He's the OG. But when he says out of his mouth, the only two people in the league that can have an opinion about something I say is LeBron James and Steph Curry, he's dismissing the other 448 players that actually earned the right to play in the NBA. And you know what else he's doing? Dismissing people like you who love the game and deserve to have an opinion, and your opinion shouldn't be dismissed because you didn't play in the NBA. That's the dumbest thing of all time. Just because you played in the NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, that don't make you a great commentator, analyst, or somebody that has a personality to talk about the sport. Now, for those like me who just great in all areas, that's why I'm dope. And for Jared Dudley to say what he said and receive the backlash he received, I just had to acknowledge all you need to have an opinion is knowledge and a voice. That's all you need. And by the way, you don't even really need the knowledge.
I was about to say, you just need a voice. To have a respected opinion, you need knowledge and a voice.
Correct. Well said. And a couple of things. When I hear what he said, he don't like Paul George is the undercurrent of how I read it based on what's being reported, but also what I see in my phone from people that play for both of those teams. Because let me recall, how did that Lakers and Clippers series go last year in the bubble?
Oh, let me think back on it. Never happened. Never happened. They were up 3-1 on the Nuggets and then lost the series.
So we all know it ain't accurate for him to act like the Lakers were motivated to win a championship based on something Paul George did when they ain't even played him. Number one, they ain't even played him. Number two, he did the exact thing that people are doing to him that I don't like. He tries to dismiss what Paul George has to say, but he allows Kawhi to say it because of what Kawhi accomplished. That's hypocritical. And by the way, Paul George, if you keep a score, in theory has accomplished more than Patrick Beverley. So Patrick Beverley gets to talk, but Paul George doesn't. That don't make sense. None of that whole autonomy circle for me makes sense.
Oh, Jay, let
but
me go
what
further.
Does is,
let me go one step further with that.
Please
because
go.
I have a memory. Do you remember when Jared Dudley was with the Nets and they were playing the 76ers? And Jared Dudley had some things to say about some of the star players on the 76ers. And while Jared Dudley was saying those things, he was not playing in the games. So one could make a similar argument that he has done what he is criticizing in the past.
How did he play in the finals?
Didn't.
Got it. So what I'm here to do, and you just did, let's dispel the notion of your accomplishments mean that your voice is louder. That ain't accurate. That ain't accurate. If that's the case, only Bill Russell should ever talk about the game, and we got to all sit at his feet and listen.
Yeah. It should all be a lecture where Bill Russell sits at the lectern, and we all just listen to everything that he has to say about the league because no one else is allowed to talk about it.
Michael Jordan can't say nothing.
Nope.
Nobody else can say nothing. He can tell MJ, I almost got two times more rings than you, if that's the case. So I always felt as somebody who took pride in clearly being a player, but also in the multimedia, radio, TV, film space, it shows ignorance when athletes think because they played that they're the only people to have an opinion. But then when they do that, they start to gauge what the person accomplished. So it's like, well, you know, I'll listen to Kawhi, even though he don't talk because he won two championships, but I'm not going to listen to David Jacoby because he didn't play in the league. That's dumb.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely love Jared Dudley. You know, I think that he does have a future in the media, and I understand what he's saying, but like, at the very, very core of it, he's trying to create these hierarchies. Like, all right, you didn't play in the league, so I'm not going to listen to you. You did play in the league, but you didn't win a championship, so I'm not going to listen to you. So it's, oh, you did play in the league, and you did just win a championship, so I will listen to you. Like, I don't think opinions are really evaluated and filtered that way. But let me tell you the one man that really motivates NBA players to win championships, Jalen. You'll never be able to guess. There's one human being that motivates NBA players to get through the playoffs and to win in the finals. And they wake up thinking about this one man every single day. Do you want to know his name? Larry O'Brien. Larry O'Brien is that person's name. The trophy, winning the championship, is the greatest motivator. So there might be other things, you know, bulletin board material or perceived slights or, you know, didn't perform well the game before. There's other things that can motivate somebody in the playoffs. But ultimately, the carrot at the end of the stick is the Larry O'Brien trophy, and that is what players are trying to win when they play in the NBA finals.
Correct. And it's important that athletes, it's important that multimedia members respect one another. Bill Simmons, the OG, the Podfather, wrote the book of basketball. And it's legitimate. It's legitimate. It's because he's been a fan of his game and consumed by the league his entire life.
Mm-hmm.
I would read his book of basketball before Patrick Beverley's or Jared Dudley's, even though they played in the league.
I mean, and also on the flip side, there are certain insights and experience and wisdom that you get from your 13 years playing in the NBA that I will never understand. I'm not going to discredit that. You know what I mean? Like, there's that too. Like, unless you've actually done it, you're going to have blind spots when analyzing it. There's certain things that happen in locker rooms and in the daily life and in the spotlight. And there's so much to an NBA life that happens outside of what we see on the broadcast that people that didn't play or, you know, cover, like, have the beat in the 90s won't see. But that doesn't mean that Bill Simmons doesn't know what he's talking about when it comes to the NBA. Now, Jalen,
we don't want to hear what Ernie Johnson has to say because he ain't playing the league. So we don't just dismiss everything he has to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, hey, Kenny can talk more than Shaq because he got two champions. Kenny can talk more than Charles because he got two. Like, all of that's just dumb. So I'm here to dispel that. However, if you have the Bill Simmons, David Jacoby, wealth of knowledge, love for the game, consumed by it 24/7, 365, plus you played, then that makes you extra special. But it doesn't dismiss what everybody else sees with their own two eyes.
You know what Bill Simmons got that I don't got? He got a memory, man. He's like, do you remember game 4 of the 1998 finals? Right around the third quarter, Tim Duncan hit a turnaround bank shot. I'm just like, I have trouble remembering my kids' names. What are you talking about? So, Jalen, I got a couple stories that we, you know, this is podcast exclusive stuff right here. I'm going to start with this one. Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles It is a legendary chicken and waffle place, multiple locations around the Los Angeles area. In the Pasadena location, a gentleman went inside and he wanted chicken and waffles real bad, but they refused him service because he was not wearing a mask. So what did this gentleman do? Came back with a gun, did not rob the establishment, literally just asked for chicken and waffles in a bag and then walked out. Your thoughts on this incident?
I got to talk to my people, dog. We got to do better.
How do you know that that person didn't look like me?
I know that that person looked like me.
They definitely did. They definitely did.
I know that that person looked like me. I got to talk to my people. I got to hit up my cousin and talk to him about that. Here's the thing. That's ignorant. That's irresponsible. And he could have got killed.
Yeah. Or he could go to jail. It's a felony. He could be spending 10 years in jail because he didn't want to put a mask on.
Yeah, he could have got killed, too. So you start toting a gun, and you never know the reaction that other people are going to have.
Yeah, they may have a security guard in there that's armed. Who knows?
Correct. And Biggie once said it, frequently floss yo's at Roscoe's. That's the spot. I love it so much. The chicken ain't as good as it used to be 1,000.
Mm-mm.
Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles seems to be more mainstream now, kind of like what we were saying about the wings at Magic City.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a tourist attraction. And so it's not as good as it used to be. But I understand why he likes it so much. But personally, I don't like syrup on my chicken. And that combination don't fit on my plate.
Wait a second. Jalen, I think you're plagiarizing one of my opinions again. Because I am anti-chicken and waffles. I do not want hot sauce on my waffles. And I do not want syrup on my chicken. And if I did get chicken and waffles, if I was forced to, I would get two different plates and I would eat the chicken and then have the waffle for dessert. I do not think that this is a combination. I think the idea of this combination and the myth and the legend of chicken and waffles has people sort of like gaslit into thinking that they like it. But if you said you can have chicken waffles or you can have fried chicken with a side of greens and some like coleslaw, I'm going with door number two a million times out of a million.
I agree with that, and I appreciate your confidence, because you actually believed that while I was playing in the NBA, not liking chicken and waffles, that I got that from you.
Yeah.
You actually feel like I didn't start not liking chicken and waffles until I heard you said it.
Yes, that's how I feel. That is exactly how I feel. I think here's what we both suffer from. We both suffer from like us being the singular origin for all things. You know what I mean? Like you suffer from that too.
Of course.
You suffer.
I'm happy about it. I make sure I keep score when people do something off a lob I throw. Absolutely.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I guess we both have that stupid confidence. Well, I have another thing that I need to talk to you about that I can only talk to you about in the podcast exclusive. And I read the full article this time. The New York Post. Shout out to the Renaissance Man. Thursday, Renaissance Man comes out.
Thank you, brother.
Who's the guest this week?
Appreciate the love and the support. Right now, download Renaissance Man podcast on Apple or Spotify. It comes out each Thursday. This week's guest is Rosé.
Ricky Ross. So, Jalen, you share the pages of the New York Post with an article that I read the entire thing of. It is an article about how strip clubs are preparing in Tampa for Super Bowl weekend. Now, travel to Super Bowl is not going to be the same. The experience is not going to be the same. But I read the whole article. They had various different establishments that they interviewed employees from. And, Jalen, as someone who might have gone to a strip club before in your life, now retired, how would you feel about masks, 6 feet between customers, not 6 feet between you and the dancer, sanitizing poles, sanitize all over the place, HEPA filters everywhere, tents put up in the parking lot for extra square footage to make up for the social distancing? Would you still find that to be a satisfactory experience if you were back in the game and not retired?
Absolutely. Yes. It's one of those things that I really like the way my lobster and crab tastes. I really like the way my wings taste. But every now and then, I go to a restaurant and I get carry out.
Yeah.
And just because the experience ain't what it used to be, it don't mean that it still can't be fun and it doesn't exist. And so the music's still going to be there, right?
Yup.
The adult beverages are still going to be there, right?
Absolutely.
It's still going to be dark in there, right?
Yes. Also UV lights.
I'll take it. Where else would I rather be? My basement?
Well, I mean, one can make the argument that your basement would expose you to the coronavirus a lot less than one of these establishments and experiences. I'm not big into going out to crowded places and sharing my air with strangers. But you know what? The masks, for certain entertainers, the mask might be a plus. Who knows? You know? And then we also have this. This is what I really wanted to get to. Because you played professional basketball in the 90s, right? And you were like, and I just want, this is a story that was in this article, was a really good example of, while cell phones and the social media and the accessibility to information has made our lives so much better in so many ways, and I would never trade that, there were things that would happen before that was all accessible to our fingertips at any time of the day that just can't happen anymore. The Bills and the Giants were playing in the Super Bowl, okay? Before the Super Bowl, at a place called the Dollhouse with two E's in Tampa. So Tampa's hosting the Super Bowl. Jim Kelly and Lawrence Taylor announced the amateur contest the week of the Super Bowl before the Super Bowl. Let me run that back. The two biggest stars of opposing teams announced an amateur entertainer contest at a strip club nights before the Super Bowl was to happen. They were going to play each other. That is something that happened in 1991 that could never, would never come close to happening in 2021.
How about the fact that they were doing what they had to do to grow the game? You know what I'm saying? It was growing the game, dog.
And that was part of their PR responsibilities?
Of course. Adult entertainment and marijuana are two things that when they're said out loud, so many people try to criminalize them that actually do them anyway. It's one of the more hypocritical things that takes place in our society. It's not illegal.
I've never been to a gentleman's club and I've never experimented with marijuana, and I condemn both of those behaviors. Jalen, staying on the Super Bowl, this jumped out to me. This was like Lil Uzi's $24 million diamond ring. Like, nah, I don't believe that number. The Weeknd is supposedly putting up $7 million of his own money for the halftime performance. That sounds like hustling back.
Where's LL and Reg DeLange when I need them? That's a lie.
That don't sound right. So, I love The Weeknd's music. My kids love Blinding Lights. We have parties to that song all the time. They love that song. That's his big hit out right now. But I pay attention to The Weeknd, and there's one thing that people aren't ready for is most of his public experiences and even his video, he's altered his face. Like, he's showed up at award shows in bandages, black eyes.
Yes.
And then his latest video, he put like huge cheekbones on himself to make himself look like a real housewife or something. And I don't know if the NFL is familiar with this, but whoever did the contract should have put in there somewhere, like, you got to look like yourself. You know what I mean? Or like his manager. His manager's going to be like, look, this is going to expose you to a huge audience of people that have never seen you perform before. Perhaps they should be able to see your face. Because I'm curious to see if he does the face altering thing for the Super Bowl. Do you think he will?
I think he definitely will. I think everything that he's been doing, all of the public appearances that you're describing, are leading up to what's going to happen at the Super Bowl. It's kind of like what I was doing for Christmas. Remember how I was like, I'm a Wolf fan. I'm going to wear this. I'm going to do that. He knows that the Super Bowl is coming. So to me, he's doing all of this to get prepared for the huge day and the major audience. So I do anticipate that there's going to be some alterations to his appearance.
Mm. Well, I think so too, and I think there's going to be some people, some executives that work at the NFL are going to get a call from Roger Goodell or the marketing manager or somebody being like, is he wearing a bandage on his face? Is that the Weeknd?
Like, who was that?
Like, who's that? I thought we had the Weeknd performing. This handsome Canadian dude. Well, Jalen, we also have this that we need to talk about. You know, we always say that we've been doing this a long time, so we understand the power of this microphone, and we appreciate our audience so much. And we understand that we're being recorded by our producer, Taylor, and he's going to then upload this audio.
Big shout,
Taylor.
It's going
to be distributed all over the world and on demand in eternity. So we might not seem like it, but we think about what we say before we say it. Brett Favre just got himself a little media gig, and he got himself in some trouble because he is of the opinion that Deshaun Watson makes so much money that he should probably just not have an opinion about the franchise and keep to himself and show up to work and lunch pail that and not demand a trade and not ask out of the Texans. What are your thoughts on his thoughts?
It's a snapshot of the struggle in race relations that we constantly still deal with in the United States of America. Well, and here's what I mean. As an older white man, Brett Favre is going to say that. That's like basically saying, shut up and dribble.
Sounds like it.
He feels like, based on the fact that you're getting paid X amount of dollars, that takes away your human rights and the ability to have an opinion. Kind of like what we were saying earlier about athletes who try to dismiss people because they didn't play. It's the exact same thing. I watched Brett Favre's whole career. And you know what he did for like the last 5 years? Held the Packers hostage.
Yep.
He didn't know if he wanted to play. He didn't know if he wanted to retire. He didn't know if he wanted to come to training camp. I remember that. I'm old enough to remember he played for the Jets and the Vikings.
Yep.
And so he has a lot of nerve, and it's hypocritical because he fell out with the Green Bay Packers. And that's what allowed him to go elsewhere to play. But let's get back to the reasoning that he has. So many times, Jacoby, people look at athletes, in particular in the NBA and NFL, and think, just because you get paid X amount of dollars, I don't care about your opinion, and I don't care about your business acumen. This is a business deal for Deshaun Watson.
No, and I'm going to also say, like, mental health and happiness are also part of that, too.
Absolutely. This is a business deal. There's a difference between making $160 million and winning 4 or 5 games versus being on a team that's in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big difference. And as somebody that watches football, the Texans stink. They stink so much that J.J. Watt put his arm around him and apologized for being so bad. Who breaks up not only Deshaun Watson and D-Hop, but they also homies that went to the same college? You already know. We talked about this for a year and a half. Soon as they traded D-Hop, we flipped over the hourglass. They was on the clock. And they didn't make no moves to get better.
Well, Sean Watson ain't gonna be.
David Johnson? How did David Johnson play this year? Who had him on fantasy?
Duke Johnson, you mean? You mean Duke Johnson, right? Because that's who I saw. Because David Johnson wasn't really running. That's a lot of Duke Johnson. That's all I know. That's all I know. Well, Jalen, we had a lot of games in the NBA yesterday. Usually Wednesday nights have the most NBA games. That's when I tell my wife I'm not watching reality TV with you at all. I'm watching all the games at once. Not a lot of great games, you know? ESPN had the Bucks. I was like, all right, you know, Bucks-Pacers. Pacers didn't really make too much of a game of it. You know, my Charlotte Hornets went up against the 76ers. Didn't really make too much of a game of it. But the Knicks beat the Bulls. Jalen, this is what I want to talk to you about. Not about the Knicks right now. Shout out to Emmanuel Quickley's floater. But these back-to-back little baseball series they're doing. right? When you go to a city, you play one day, you have an off day the next day where you definitely stay with COVID protocols. Oh, yeah, you got a full off day in the same city you've been in for two nights. Definitely going to stick to those COVID protocols. I can't imagine anybody.
And you don't have the kind of money. And you don't have the kind of money to buy an extra hotel room or a flight.
No, you don't have that kind of money to do that. You're definitely sticking to that one outdoor hour of exercise that the league has allotted you. That's a joke. But I have found that a lot, they split. I don't have the numbers in front of me, so don't come at me with your data. But they split a lot of these series. And I think that's going to kind of sway where we end up at the end of the year. Now, we spoke earlier about someone who can rely on their experience and being in the locker room and all things that happen off the floor and in the hotel that I just can't understand is, how do you think that would change your approach if you're playing the same team in these little two-game sets in the same city for over the course of 3 days?
I'm not the old stay off my lawn kind of player. And today's athlete, bigger, stronger, faster,
better,
more range, just more talented and more skilled. They're more talented and more skilled. Oh, yeah. I hate to tell it to everybody, but the iPhone works better than a beeper. It really does. It just does more things. It does more things. And what's missing from the game that I don't like? Number one, no rivalries. Number two, no physical intimidation. Jacoby can make a three on me. He can make five threes on me. But the one time that he point to the chest and he point to the sky, he gonna drive to the basket, Lambeer gonna foul him first, and they gonna blow the whistle, and then Sally and Mahorn gonna foul him again. Physical intimidation was a part of the game. These mini series are going to create a little level of dislike amongst the teams. And I like that. It's human nature. It's Colin Sexton bust up the Nets one day. They looking for him the next day. And or that's his chance to put his stamp down. They're like, I own y'all. You see what I'm saying? And I like it a lot. I think it's going to remain a part of the scheduling of the NBA. And just to say this because it's true, it's another example of how when Adam Silver presses the button, he's usually right.
He's made very few mistakes. I can't look at too many things and say Adam Silver didn't really handle that right over the course of, and he's been put in some positions too with the bubble. Because let's not forget, the bubble worked out, but that was a gamble. And as before people were going to the bubble, some people were pump faking and talk about Kyrie wanted to start his own league. And there's people just straight up, just Avery Bradley was like, I know I could win a chip, but I'd rather just stay home. Like that was a huge swing. And with the, you know, Daryl Morey tweets and all, next thing you know, he's involved in international politics and people are throwing a microphone in his face, talking about China-Taiwan relations. Like he is dealt with a lot of things, but I do agree that these little back-to-back over three-night series will stay part of the schedule. And I also believe this, in a post-COVID world, if we ever get there as a society, I think that's going to change some of the romantic relationships with some of the players as well.
Of course. Now let me go there. Baseball players, and I say this respectfully, because by the way, for those that don't know, women actually cheat. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not disrespecting in any way, shape, or form or dismissing the quality of a relationship. We're both happily married men, but we do realize that these athletes, when they're on the road, sometimes they do things that they wouldn't do at home. And if you're a Major League Baseball player, When you're inside the foxhole, we call those relationships having mistresses, like a whole nother family. Like if you go into a city for like 4 or 5 nights, that's a whole nother family. That's a whole nother relationship. In the NBA, it's more one night stand, more jump off.
because you're only there for a half of an evening. If you're now there for basically 3 days and two nights, oh man, 3-2-1. We about to be seeing some interesting Instagram posts of the side of such and such's head while she takes his picture and he sleep. Or posting that, hey, look at this hotel that I'm at kicking it with such and such. And then all of a sudden, like my man for the Houston Rockets, he had a whole family at home and he got kicked out of the bubble for messing with somebody that Daniel was a House. COVID director.
Shout out to Daniel,
Daniel House. House.
COVID tester. One of the few people you're going to see over and over again.
And how about Larsa Pippen, depending on who she decide to date?
I may or may not be very well versed in the Montana Yao, Malik Beasley, Larsa Pippen love triangle, and I'm not proud of how much information I have about those relationships. I'm not proud of how much information. And Malik Beasley balling this year too. Like on the low, like, I know no one's watching Timberwolves games, but like he's putting up numbers. Good for Malik Beasley, you know? Spotlight's on him and he's coming through. So they're having the All-Star game and De'Aaron Fox is having a little breakout year. Again, if you're not watching Sacramento Kings games, and I don't watch too many Sacramento Kings games. I don't watch Sacramento Kings games. I watch who they're playing. So when they play the Celtics, I'll check in on it. And they got a good win over the Celtics. De'Aaron Fox had 13 points in the fourth quarter. Scored 26 for the whole game. And they won. And De'Aaron Fox could be an all-star this year. So you know this coach. He's on the fringe. Like he's like bubble all-star this year in the Western Conference. I know it's early to like really start breaking into it, but he's in the hunt. And even as a player in the hunt to play in the All-Star game, this is what he said about the NBA hosting it. Quote, if I'm going to be brutally honest, I think it's stupid. So this is someone who could be playing in his first All-Star game. First time ever wearing a uniform with his name on the back and All-Star on the front. So consider the source here. And he thinks it's stupid for the NBA to have an All-Star game. I think it's stupid for the NBA to have an All-Star game. I see absolutely no motivation for them to host an All-Star game aside from fulfilling the contractual requirement that they have with their television partner, which I believe is TNT, to have an All-Star game. Because they're going to have to take a hit if they don't have that product to give to their partner. Do you think they should have one?
Absolutely not. And you're a multi-billion dollar conglomerate. You've had virtually no missteps, including the bubble. And we just talked about how much we admire Adam Silver, who was also a guest on the Renaissance Man right before Christmas. The NBA got to charge that to the game. That's what y'all got to do. I know y'all want to get that check. We all want to get bread when we can. I promise you, that ain't going to go well. That ain't going to go well.
So that's interesting. While we talk about how he hasn't made any missteps, this is a misstep. This is something that I disagree
with
Adam Silver.
That's why we're pointing it out. Yeah, that's why we're pointing it out. That's why we're here to point it out.
What's the upside? You're going to take all the best players.
We're not waiting
until
after the fact.
It just seems like so many more things
can go
wrong than go right.
We're not waiting
until
after the fact.
I do want to say this, though, because it seems like it was a million years ago. But the last All-Star game was so good. Do you remember that? It was so good.
It was high scoring.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm misremembering this, but wasn't it like really close in the fourth quarter? And they were going to a target score, but ended on a free throw. I think it was James Harden hit a free throw, but still, that was a fascinating watch. I love that.
Mixing up the teams, having captains of the team, and all of that stuff. Yep.
Just put it all on pause.
This right here will be that misstep if it happens that we look back and was like, Adam Silver did everything right. But they shouldn't have did that one. Mark my words, dog.
If it goes well, then we won't say that.
I can't think of one good thing. Jacoby, it can't go well.
It can't. Everybody goes there. Everybody stays healthy. No one gets COVID. Game's good. Good rating. People get their All-Star game. We all move on. You know, that could happen.
So how are we going to keep everybody from getting COVID?
Same way they're keeping everybody from getting COVID.
You're not in a bubble.
Same way they're keeping people from getting COVID.
They're not keeping everybody from Jacoby. They're not keeping everybody from getting COVID. That's why so many games are getting canceled. That's why Jason Tatum missed 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy Butler just came back. Jimmy Butler got hit hard.
Correct. correct. Jimmy Butler missed a month, dog.
You know, the Heat mess around. They're like, I don't know what their record is now. 7-13, 7-14. I don't know. I have it in front of me, but like, COVID is affecting the playoff potential of some of these teams. And we can all laugh at how bad
that's
the Wizards' record is.
It can't go well.
It's tough, man. It's tough. And like, we had the Chiefs barber situation.
Well, let me tell you why I say it can't go well.
One of the only person that would be in close contact with almost every single player for the Chiefs tested positive for COVID. The barber. That could have been a disaster. That could have ended the Super Bowl.
Correct.
It postponed it a month.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly my point. And so when I say can't go well, it's not an essential game. It's not essential to play this game. Let the guys have those days off.
Well, that's another thing I want to talk
about. And regroup and try to finish the season as uninterrupted as possible.
So Jalen, you're an NBA athlete. It's the All-Star break. According to protocol, you're not allowed to go on vacation. You're not allowed to leave your house except for 1 hour for outdoor exercise or go grocery shopping. What are the percent chance that a 26-year-old Jalen Rose would stick to those protocols?
Zero,
less than zero. You break him
I'm
in
not
the
gonna
first
even act like that
five
I
minutes.
Am.
You would break him in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'm not gonna act like I am.
I can't see my friends.
Yeah.
I can't leave the house.
That's just
can't go for a drive.
Yeah, that's a difficult ask. That's a really difficult ask.
Yeah. I think the All-Star break is putting the league in jeopardy. Just giving people time off to go home. That's the whole point, is to see your people. Go home. See your friends.
Correct.
Go outside. Relax a little bit. Get a massage. Sit by the pool. You're rich. Do whatever you got to do. Oh, no, can't sit by the pool. Oh, no. No, can't have anybody over. Can't get a massage. Nope, that's a violation of the protocol. Man, I want life to come back. Jalen, I got to tell you something.
It will.
I got to tell you something that's really ruining my family. My family's, I might have to sell my
kids.
What's
that?
Yesterday, my nanny sat us down. She's starting a new semester at her school. She wants to be a dentist. I love her so much, Paula. She's part of the family. And she's like, I want to talk to you about the schedule. And usually she talks about the schedule because she's got classes at certain times and we have to adjust the schedule. So, we love her so much that we've made adjustments to the schedule over years because we love her so much. No one else can ever replace Paula. And when she sat us down, she said, you want to talk about the schedule. And quickly in the conversation, I sussed it out in the first 20 seconds. She's breaking up with us. So, Jalen, I now have three children. And again, privilege, first world problems. I get it. Single moms out there have a lot more to deal with. But Paula quit the job. Paula, she failed a class last semester. It's too much for her. She lives too far away. She moved. We moved. It's just not going to work with Paula anymore. And I don't know which kid I have to sell first because I can't take care of them all.
It's going to be really difficult to replace her because there's so many things that people take for granted. That people in her position do, just the trust and the security and the love and the relationship.
Yeah, she loves my
and
kids.
And her being able to, exactly, and vice versa.
And this is not like hiring somebody, like you hire a lot of people for Jalen Rose Leadership Academy, right? And those are very important hires that affect the education and the lives and the families of those people. Those decisions that you make can change the trajectory of children forever. But they're not in your house for like 6 hours a day. They're not in your kitchen. I live in New York. We don't have like a big house. You know what I mean? So this is someone who's going to be in my house, in my face all the time. I'm terrified about this, man. I'm really terrified about this, Jalen. So which one of my kids are you going to take for the next 3 years?
Send me Q. Okay. Send me Q. I'll take the oldest.
All right. You can have Q.
I'll take the oldest.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'll take the oldest because he ain't got to worry about me trying to do his hair. I could take him to get a cut.
His hair ain't looking right. He got the alfalfa? He got the alfalfa stick ups in the back. And you know my wife is
exactly.
Mad.
I seen
my
that.
wife is mad because she's black and he's got white hair. So she secretly resents
the fact that he doesn't have black people hair. And my mother-in-law, RIP, she used to call it Protestant hair. I don't know why she came up with that. But all my kids have straight hair, and my wife looks at me and is like, you got to deal with this. The girls have curls, but like Quincy's got straight up hair. She's like, this is your job. I don't know what to do with it. Well, man, if anybody listening to this wants to take my kids,
I got it.
Let me know. Or be my nanny, because we need one bad. And again, I'm not going to complain too much about this. This is very much first world problems. And I know there's single moms out there with, you know, just got laid off from their jobs and they're raising six kids in a two bedroom. I understand the plight of the American people right now, but in my subjective worldview, this is a very tough loss for the family. I want to thank Aaron Jones for coming through. Enlightening interview from one of the most electric players on a football field. We have another special guest next week. I'm sorry, tomorrow. And we will have a show tomorrow. Why is that, gentlemen?
We're not done. We are not done.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.